Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, January 29th, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium. Apple's Q1 2020 earnings day is here, covering the lucrative holiday shopping season. For the first fiscal quarter of 2020, Apple had forecast revenue between $85.5 billion and $89.5 billion. So how did Apple actually perform during the quarter? The company has announced revenue of $91.8 billion and profit of $22.2 billion. That's an all-time record for both net income and revenue, and compares to $84.3 billion and $20 billion in the same quarter last year. Apple also announced that it has hit a new record of 1.5 billion active devices, which is up 100 million compared to last quarter. Another interesting statistic is that during the quarter, there were 92 total days. Given Apple's $91.8 billion in revenue, that means the company was bringing in essentially $1 billion in revenue per day throughout the entire quarter. Apple no longer reports unit sales for any of its hardware products, a change it introduced a year ago. It does, however, provide a breakdown of revenue by product category. The iPhone continues to be far and away Apple's biggest category, with $55.96 billion in revenue during the quarter. Services came in at number 2, generating $12.72 billion, followed by wearables, home, and accessories at $10 billion. The Mac brought in $7.16 billion, followed by the iPad at $5.98 billion. All of these categories were up year over year except the Mac and the iPad, which were down 3% and 11% respectively. Apple attributed this to a tough year over year compare since the product mix last year was quite a bit different than this year. For instance, during Q1 2019, Apple had just released the new iPad Pros and was still riding on demand of things like the new Retina MacBook Air. This year, however, there were no new iPad Pro models, and Apple's Mac focus was on things like the Mac Pro and 16-inch MacBook Pro, both of which sell at lower volume than the MacBook Air. The first quarter of the fiscal year is an important one for Apple, as it covers the months of October, November, and December. These are the three most lucrative months of the year because of holiday shopping. For the iPhone, Tim Cook said that the iPhone 11 was the best-selling iPhone during every week of the holiday quarter. Additionally, Cook said that the three newest iPhone models were the three most popular iPhones throughout the quarter as well. This means that all three iPhone 11 devices were able to outsell even the more affordable iPhone XR and iPhone 8. In terms of wearables, Apple touted the continued success of AirPods and Apple Watch. Specifically, the company said that it struggled to keep up with demand throughout the quarter for AirPods Pro and Apple Watch Series 3. The $199 starting price for Apple Watch Series 3 clearly made it a popular gift during the holiday season, especially with other retailers offering it as low as $129. According to Apple, 75% of Apple Watch buyers during the quarter were brand new to the Apple Watch platform. So by lowering the Apple Watch starting price, Apple has clearly driven additional customers to the category. Apple's wearables category actually includes more than just Apple Watch. It consists of Apple Watch, AirPods, accessories, Beats products, and the HomePod. The first fiscal quarter of 2020 marks the first time that the wearables, home, and accessories category outperformed the Mac. The Mac brought in $7.2 billion in revenue compared to the $10 billion generated by wearables. You can find our full coverage of Apple's first quarter earnings results at the link in the show notes below. We are sponsored this week by Mac Stadium, provider of Apple Mac infrastructure as a service. As anyone creating apps for Mac or iOS knows, Apple requires you to build with macOS on authentic Mac hardware. Unfortunately, this leaves many dev teams working with their own hardware in-house, Mac Pros in a closet or a stack of Mac Minis under a desk. Mac Stadium has solved this problem by making Mac private clouds available in enterprise-grade data centers around the world. They're like AWS, Azure, or GCP, but for Mac hardware. MacStadium also recently debuted Orca, a new virtualization layer that lets developers integrate with standard tools like Docker to create and manage Mac clouds. And for 9to5 Mac daily listeners, MacStadium is offering 50% off the first 2 months of a Mac Mini subscription with code 9to5Mac at the link in the show notes below. My thanks to MacStadium for their support of 9to5 Mac daily. In other news, Apple has released iOS 13.3.1 and iPadOS 13.3.1 to the public. These updates include bug fixes and performance improvements targeting screen time, the iPhone 11, and the Mail app. Apple says that both of these updates include a fix for communication limits in screen time. As we've detailed in the past, this issue allowed any contact to be added without entering the screen time passcode, making it incredibly easy for anyone to circumvent the communications limit feature. The update also adds a new setting to control the use of location services by the U1 Ultra Wideband chip of the iPhone 11. This solves some privacy and location data concerns that we've talked about previously. Also for the iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro, there are fixes for delayed Deep Fusion photo editing and the camera settings while you're on a FaceTime call. iOS 13.3.1 also makes several improvements to the Mail app, including fixes for image loading and undo dialogues. And Apple also says there are fixes for a bug that could cause push notifications to fail to be delivered over Wi-Fi. And last but not least, the update introduces support for Indian English Siri voices for HomePod. This is in addition to a separate update that also came to the HomePod yesterday, bringing general stability and quality improvements. WatchOS was updated to version 6.1.2, bringing security updates and performance improvements, and tvOS was updated to version 13.3.1 as well. And last but not least, macOS 10.15.3 was released with ProDisplay XDR improvements and updates to multi-stream video editing performance on the 16-inch MacBook Pro. We have the full release notes for all of these updates at the link in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can read all of Apple's latest news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.